Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is September 9th, 2024. It's been 25 years since the Dreamcast released, Denise. I bet you care a lot about that.
I don't know what we're talking about.
It's been 25 years since the VMAs were on, too. $99.99.
Wow. Thank you so much for the fun facts.
There you go. But by God, you're here right now. We're here to talk WWE Raw. Lots of news to talk about, honestly, like between Raw to 2 hours for maybe a little while. I'll discuss that in a bit. Of course, we have some more TV news that is kind of emerging, maybe AEW and Fox, now that Fox is done with WWE. But regardless, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. That's how you can get your questions or statements read on the air. You can send them here on youtube.com/Fightful or humperchats.com. If you haven't checked out all the great content we've had on Fightful Select, we had Heather Reckless's first interview since signing with TNA. We had a Daniel Garcia interview, Willow Nightingale, Maven, David Finley, Jade Cargill, Mojo, Jhenny Kai, Mariah May, Brian Danielson, Nick Nemeth, tons of them over the last couple of weeks. And on our YouTube, under our shorts section, you can see a bunch of people that you've known from WWE and elsewhere, arm wrestling, tug of war, all kinds of cool stuff from the Black Label Pro Crowning Glory Combine. Just a whole lot of stuff over there. That was a blast to cover. We will not talk about Mojo hitting me with a pounce.
Dude, you're just getting beat up everywhere. Is that why you look so sad today?
Yeah, that's why.
I'm sensing a really sad aura from you today.
I have no aura today. You're lucky I'm even showing up for this podcast.
Oh,
but anyway.
Are you depressed because of the Bengals?
Oh, hold on. Let me check the score.
Stop it. I already know the score. Stop it. Don't look. Put your hands up.
Wait. You mean to tell me that the score of the Niners-Jets games was so out of hand that 5 minutes left in the game, they pulled their 234-year-old quarterback? Okay, great. Great to know.
Anyways, as I was saying, you're the one out here with a sad aura, not me.
Anyway, if you want to see my football aura, go follow Common Bengals W on Twitter and YouTube. But by God.
Shouldn't it be Common Bengals L?
Great. Oh, congratulations. Denise, you know what? You win. You are the 4,000th person to make that joke. You have won a prize.
But I'm so proud of myself.
There you go. You win this, Denise. There you go.
Thank you so much. Woo! You know,
letter opener.
I was really sad that the Jets lost today because I was going to come on here and talk so much shit to you. And unfortunately, now I got no shit to talk.
You just did. You just did. Anyway.
I know. Well, got to get my kicks in somehow.
leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats and humper chats in. You're going to get more backstage news on this show than anywhere else. Apologies if I got to mute my mic here and there. I got some allergy stuff. And as we know, I'm not allowed to blow my nose off camera. So
yeah, because you're a coke addict. Just tell the truth, Sean. Stop lying to the people.
That's exactly what it is. And definitely that won't get taken out of context and used on somebody else's YouTube channel. Because they don't have anything else original happening to them.
Denise Salcedo reveals news. Sean Ross Sapp, coke addict.
Yep, that's it.
That's why he's so sad.
The guy who gets hungover when he takes nighttime supplements. That's me. Pat Faruga says, there's always CFL. Oh, brother. Meet Norman says, hi, SRS and Denise. Joe Burrow, my fantasy team sucked as bad as Raw. Savannah Bananas were great tonight. They are a good show from what I understand. Our friend Cher Delaware. Went and checked them out recently. And I think it was maybe in Louisville. You know
Savannah
what I'm doing
Bananas?
In Louisville?
What is Savannah Bananas?
It's like an independent baseball team. It's more of a sports entertainment team. Yeah. It's like they'll have batters on stilts and they've got unique rules. It's more sports entertainment than sports. They sell out every game.
I thought it was going to be like some punk rock band, Savannah Bananas. They're so hip.
You know what I'm doing in Louisville in three months?
Riding bikes. Crying.
Riding bikes? I would love to ride bikes.
You always ride bikes.
I don't always.
It's your bird scooter. That's what it is.
Yeah, I did that in Louisville. I rode e-bikes in London. And I think I skateboarded in Venice Beach. Is that where I went?
Was it you Venice skateboarded?
Beach? Yeah.
No, you told me you went to Santa Monica.
Wherever it was. There you go.
You probably went to, did you go to both? Was there a Ferris wheel or was there no Ferris wheel?
I can't remember.
Was there weed or no weed?
I don't remember.
If there was a Ferris wheel, you were in Santa Monica. If there was a Ferris wheel and like a little wooden boardwalk and roller coasters, you were in Santa Monica.
There was a wooden boardwalk, but I thought I just swore we went to Venice.
You probably did both because it's really close by, especially if you rode bikes. You can easily ride bikes in Santa Monica.
I'm going to a screening of Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin. That's going to be fun. So I'm doing that Christmas. Like first week or so should be fun, but by God, you guys are here for a night with SRS and Denise. Let's talk pro wrestling.
That sounds so wrong. A night with SRS and Denise. Come on now. What are we trying to promote here?
Now listen, I know some of your other co-hosts have had some stuff out there.
What?
Not me.
What?
Not your boy.
I don't know what you're referring to.
It's best that you don't know. Rafael Garcia says, there's a part of me that wonders which was louder, Calgary tonight or the living room of Denise Salcedo during the Jets game. How was that experience?
What experience?
Watching the Jets game.
I didn't watch. People were messaging me the score. I only watch when my husband's watching here. If not, then I just listen to what he says.
Jonathan Corona says, want to ask you guys, what are your favorite TNA theme songs? Sean, can you ask WWE what happened with the pyro on the opening show? I have and haven't got an answer. So I wish I had an answer for that. My favorite TNA themes. One, AJ Styles is an easy one. Two, the beautiful. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. I'm blanking.
Get ready
on
to fly.
Get ready to fly. Thank you. Yes. I was blanking on it.
It was so good. So good. Jeff Jarrett's was also very good, which he still uses. I like the beautiful peoples as well.
Number one, Kurt Angle's theme song, Gold Medal. Best wrestling theme song ever. I will fight anybody. That is my favorite theme song ever. Like that song, it just gets you so hyped up, man. It's not my favorite just TNA theme song. It's my favorite theme song across the board.
Do you know who the rapper was in that?
Yeah, wasn't it John Cena's cousin or something?
Yes, it was. The trademark.
Yeah, trademark. Yeah. Yep. No, I love that song.
Any update on Kiana James? Yes, PW Insider reported today she was put in the miscellaneous section of the roster. She's been sidelined. I'll leave it at that. She's been sidelined. Lupongi Vice says, getting my question out of the way just quick, do you have any idea if Grand Slam in Brisbane is going to be a one-show thing or is it going to be a multi-show taping? Much love. I would imagine a one-show taping. But I also think that they are going to wait and see what night Collision ends up on. And try to see what kind of taping that will be in general, because as of right now, it looks like it would be, you know, a Saturday show. Usually that time of the year, they're doing Sundays. So I'm interested to see where that lands. There's going to be a lot of moving pieces in pro wrestling, especially in regards to what nights and how many hours things are on. But Ryan says, they said local medical facility on Raw tonight is Vince back. I was a little bit surprised to hear Joe Tessitore say that as well, but that might have been a Joe Tessitore thing. They don't have the hard and fast rules like they used to for stuff like this, but occasionally one will get through.
By Matt, the way, Logan, I'm getting material to make fun of the Bengals for you, so just FYI.
Oh. Good job, because you can't sure think I'm of getting it yourself.
No, but I will have something, just FYI.
Matt Logan, I would make fun of the Jets if they were worth making fun of. Really? Hey, how many wins does Aaron Rodgers have as a Jet?
Look, all I have to say is, never mind. I'm not going to even finish reading what I'm going to say, because that's going to make you cry.
Denise, you have literally
your life as a Bengals fan is so sad. It's like really pathetic.
Yeah, you have literally been on more Jets than Aaron Rodgers has wins with the Jets. Matt really, Logan bro? Says, Denise, don't worry about naming your first kid or first child Aaron. The Jets will never make it to a Super Bowl.
So, Sean, just to catch you up on that, I kind of promised my husband that if the Jets win, well, I didn't even promise. I was basically forced. If Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl for the Jets, I have to name my firstborn son Aaron.
Safe bet. You're good to go. Don't worry. Jonathan Corona says, you know, the only crazy thing is the weather in SoCal. We're having the wildfires. It's been crazy from my house in the morning before I go to work. I can smell the smoke, see the ashes. It's been crazy in SoCal. Still wildfires out there.
Yeah, well, that's like permanent. We always have them, but there's been a heat wave. It's been really bad the last couple of weeks, and it's gotten even worse, where it's been like over 100 degrees like every day. Like today it was 100 in my area. So in like the valley and other places, it's even worse.
We had tributes to Johnny Gaudreau and his brother that appeared on this show. That was very nice to see. You could tell how hard this was for Jackie Redmond. I thought that was a very, very nice thing of WWE to do on this show.
It was done very beautifully. I didn't know much about the story. A lot of people informed me of the story. And just seeing her kind of walk through where everybody was leaving all of the, you know, flowers and his favorite snacks and all of that, I thought that was just it. It was a beautiful way to honor somebody.
I agree. WWE casually announces WWE Raw is going to be 2 hours in October. And obviously I'm looking in more to this. Here's something interesting about this, Denise. They said in October to December. KE775 says, do you think the 2 hour move is permanent or temporary until Netflix? Nicholas says, do you think Raw moving to 2 or 3 hours is to do cost savings because WWE got Raw in USA longer for cheaper money since WWE lost their leverage? Well, here's the deal. WWE did not have a home for Raw for the final 3 months of the year. They signed the Netflix deal to start at the beginning of the year. USA gets SmackDown. What I will assume.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And I'm going to look into it, is that USA is like, well, we're not going to pay the same rates that we're paying, but we'll pay you for 2 hours. Today, there was a listing that went around of SmackDown, and it looked like SmackDown was a 3-hour listing. WWE quickly confirmed to me it's planned for 2 hours. Tonight, I asked for clarification. I said, for clarity, is WWE Raw going to be 3 hours on Netflix? And I did not get an answer. After they very quickly confirmed it would be 2 hours prior, one person that I spoke to said, not positive yet. Netflix doesn't have hard outs like networks, so might be some wiggle room there. Listen, will it make our post shows maybe a little bit more unpredictable after the new year? Possibly. But I am completely fine if like 1 week they go 2 hours, 1 week they go 2:45, 1 week they go 3 hours. I think that adds to some of the unpredictability of the show. I mean, some flexibility. They're likely to have commercials and all that. But first off, I'm excited for 2-hour Raws because I like 2-hour wrestling shows better, Denise. You are going to be on a post show at what, 7 p.m. your time?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. I'm so happy because that's how it is for me, for NXT, for Dynamite, for SmackDown. I'm on the air from 5 to 7. I'm sorry, I'm watching from 5 to 7. And then from 7 to 8, I do a post show. By 8:15, after I'm done doing little extra things, I'm done for the day. I can go and do something else. And it's lovely. And Mondays are my long days where I'm not doing anything for myself until like 9:30, almost close to 10, once everything's said and done. And I do all the stuff I do after the show. And so 1 hour makes a huge difference in my life on Mondays. It really, really does. And I don't know how the live stuff works on Netflix. I haven't seen any live shows on Netflix. I usually just watch, you know, everything.
Well, some of them are a disaster. Some of them don't go right. Well. So hopefully.
But do they have commercials? Do they have commercials during that? They don't, that right?
I don't know. But from what I understand, there's supposed to be some ad tie-ins here. Or at least that's what they're planning on.
Right. So I'm wondering, and this is like what I've been thinking, is are they going to format Raw the way that they do their PLEs on the Peacock, where you get like these little WWE commercials and that type of stuff? And then they could probably stretch that out and keep that to 3 hours the way that they do the PLEs. Or are they going to take all of that out and do a straightforward 2-hour show? I don't know what they'll do. But personally, Sean, having the news of Raw being 2 hours from October 7th through the end of 2024, it's going to kind of be a little bit hard to go back to the 3 hours because it's going to be like, oh, yeah, like 2 hours. This is so cool. And then all of a sudden, oh, we're back to the 3 hours again, which I'm sure is fine. But ideally, my ideal pick, what I would want for the Netflix thing, is for it to be 2 hours and change. Like you mentioned, that unpredictability of one day, it was like 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes. Okay, great. But nothing above like 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Do you think that they redraft entire rosters for Netflix?
Shit, I wouldn't mind it if they did. But at the same bit, but then it was because like the last draft, nothing really changed. If you remember, for the most part, everything stayed the same. So they could do that and actually make a real change.
If everything changed, then you would just be swapping rosters. There's no point in that. You change about 30-40%, and that makes sense. Jonathan Corona says, do you think we'll see blood on Netflix? Sean, do you think that the best deal for WWE is going to Netflix? Or do you think Raw should have stayed on cable? No, I thought what WWE did was very savvy. It was very smart because on Mondays, you are going to be on the biggest streaming platform on the planet. On Tuesdays, you are going to be on network TV with CW. And honestly, that's the audience where you want to kind of grab the fans, try something different. On Wednesdays, you're going to be on Twitter with WWE Speed or whatever that may be. So you're also on social media.
You're still counting that? Who watches that?
A lot of people watch it for some reason.
I haven't seen it popped up on my feed for whatever reason. No one ever retweets it. I never see it pop up on my feed ever.
I can't make sense of it. Listen, my audience is not that audience. Friday, you're going to be on cable. And then on PLEs, you're going to be on Peacock, another streaming service. I thought WWE was very smart how they went about this and really spread out their audience. It's a lot like what the NFL is doing. Like, you got to have a bunch of different services to watch all the NFL games right now. Or, you know, there's another thing you could get.
There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
You're able to change your virtual location and then check into the local games, whether it be football, basketball, MLB, all that good stuff. Nord is such a useful utility. Jonathan Corona says, Sean and Denise, you ready for WWE back on NBC in December? I don't think that's official yet. They haven't necessarily said that, but I wouldn't doubt that they put specials over there as well. DNC Digital says, does the change of 2 hours impact their ad revenue since they lose an hour? Are they possibly just adjusting prices to prevent a loss? I believe that USA gets those ad situations, so it's more a them thing than anything else. WWE is getting their flat fee. Ryan says, also one more thing, go Pats. We beat them Bengals. Who day? Yeah, you did. Whip that ass, too. Bengals should have won that game. It was embarrassing. I'm a sad boy. They'll be 0-2 this time next week.
Sorry, Sean. I like to laugh at your pain.
That's funny because Aaron Rodgers would be 0-2 if he had ever
come. All you have to ever say is all about Aaron Rodgers. Come up with some new material.
Nah, I'm good. Aaron Rodgers would be 0-2.
Patriots. Like,
muted would be 0-2 if he had ever finished the first game that he played, but he didn't. So.
By the way, I heard.
Muted. Wyatt Six,
I heard you muted American. Yourself for like 3 minutes last not week,
true.
By the way.
That's not true. Not really.
Embarrassing.
Not really. That
go back to the happens. Performance center, Sean. We need to send you not back really. to StreamYard Performance Center.
Anyway, Wyatt Six defeated American Made. The Wyatt Six entrance is Roman Reigns long. It is The Undertaker long. It is very, very long. But it does feel special when they wrestle and when they do this. I kind of like that they sort of ride and die together. Like, they love, like, these group fights. You can tell they were just having a good time out there. There was a cool spot where Nikki came in and German suplexed Chad Gable. You could tell he really helped her on that one. Like, he got up for her on that one.
I could see him jumping off of his feet, too. I mean, I don't want to tell you guys how the sausage is made.
Yeah, come on.
The sausage is made, but you can really tell on that one.
Considering the nature of the news that we report on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. Like, come on. You guys are going to hear a little bit of that. I walked people through the intricacies of a Big Show drop toe hold last week on Jeremy's show. Wyatt Six end up winning. You knew they were going to win. I'll say this. The Dexter Lumis leg drop on Brutus, I'm like, Brutus is definitely now on the receiving end. Like, all those Brutus balls that we saw, and we're like, those are tough. He was on the receiving end of one because Lumis came down hard there. Yeah. The opening shot of them after their entrance, I thought was really cool as well. It was good to finally get that done because the criticism long has been, well, let's see what happens when the bell rings. Well, in this match, which was, you know, a lot of plunder, a lot of weapons, you ain't got to sell a whole lot here. So far, so good. Now, we might get into it a little bit more when we're talking about Joe Gacy sitting there in a chin lock or something. But the style of wrestling has changed an awful lot. We'll get into that in a minute. But what did you think of this first match of theirs?
Oh, dude, it was so much fun. This was great. I thought this was a really good way to not only kick off the 1 hour free show, but to also just like continue to introduce the Wyatt Six to us as a stable. But just them going out there and doing all of those spots that they did, as I really, really love when they put Eric Rowan through the table as a whole entire unit, having to struggle to get Rowan through it. And the Olympic slam off the top rope, that was freaking cool, into the table. I marked for that. There was a moment where Chad Gable did a German suplex on Rowan right on the outside, so close to the barricade that his head, the back of his head, hit the barricade. And so that looked nasty. I thought that was cool. What else?
AC's really shoulder hit the barricade pretty hard too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those things where it looked cool, but at the same time it looked horrible. So it was a little bit of both worlds, because you were just like, ouch, that looks painful for sure. And yeah, so they did a lot of really cool moments during this that I thought they looked good. I thought that Nikki Cross looked good. I mean, Chad Gable is always the MVP of the match to me, because he had the best moments in it. But you mentioned that, what was it? The Dexter Lumis, was it the leg drop that he did? He got so much hype for that. I thought that was sick. And then, yeah, there was just a lot in this match that they did. And I like that they let it go a good period of time too, considering that not only did they have that long entrance, but they also had a super long recap video. This took up the first half hour of the show. And at first I thought, damn, they're really stretching this out with this 1 hour free period. But once we got into the match, it went by really, really fast, even though they got a good amount of time.
Yeah, I really like this. Do you think this feud continues?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I guess so.
So we're talking about a different WWE landscape than even really the last time Bray Wyatt was around, and the Wyatt family, you know, had their matches and all that stuff. Now, listen, the Mountain Dew lights out match, it was what it was. Like, we ain't gonna sit here and pretend like that was a great match, but that was a gimmick match. It wasn't like a WWE TV match, so to speak, and that was the only match that he had during that run. Before that, he had the Fiend Randy Orton match. And besides that, we're talking about Thunderdome era. And we're talking about like the Goldberg match that wasn't a normal WWE match. We aren't in the period that we used to be, where Baron Corbin will slap on a half Nelson crossface and sit there for a minute and a half, because that's what Vince likes. We're out of that. So I think that they have a much better chance to succeed in the ring than they did then. And I think that's good. I think that's very, very good. CC Bonbon says, why no more matches on pre-shows? Just talking. Well, they like the number of matches that they're putting on there. But you know, I understand when some people complain about the pre-shows. And even I was like, man, a two-hour pre-show. And then I thought about it, Denise. I'm like, I'm up at 9 a.m. cooking breakfast on a Sunday, watching NFL pregame stuff. So like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that like some WWE fans are like, you know, I'll watch the pre-show while I do other stuff.
Right. I don't know. I think it's hard for me to compare the two, because they're so different that yeah, I can't imagine myself sitting down and watching a 2 hour pre-show. I will tell you that I can't do that. That would be way too much. But hey, if you enjoy it, more power to you. Part of me kind of doesn't mind that there's no wrestling on the show for two reasons. One, I like how excited people get for the first match, and the very first match being that on the main card. And then two, well, then if I don't want to tune into the pre-show, I don't got to tune into the pre-show, because there's no matches on there. So it's up to yeah, me as a viewer if I want to watch the pre-show. So I have the option. And now knowing that there's no matches, I don't feel necessarily inclined to do so.
They're definitely way different. Aaron Rodgers stands a much better chance winning in WWE than the NFL. Jonathan Corona says, going to need the Nord when I go to Japan in October and Mexico in October as well. Well, first off, safe travels. But yes, it is very useful. I use it whenever I'm overseas in the UK, because when we were in the UK, myself and my wife, Naked Attraction was like the only thing on TV that night. And
you're acting like it's so bad that you were watching Naked Attraction in some London hotel with your wife. Oh, yeah, so bad.
No, we got back from a bike ride at like midnight, or maybe it was like 11. And we walked in the hotel. We're like looking at each other like, what did you leave on TV? what's going on? I didn't know there was just a thing they put on TV. Me? Yeah, it was very strange. But
you made me watch that show, okay? I sat down and I watched at least like 2-3 episodes.
It's on HBO Max now.
But I stopped though, because after a while I kind of got a little grossed out. So
Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair defeated the Unholy Union. I mean, the Unholy Union got their win and then got their title shot. Cool. Probably going to be out of the title picture for a little while now, but I would say that they delivered in the opportunities that they were presented. I think that they were very solid, and they showed that they should probably be on TV more. They should probably develop the tag teams a lot more. I am glad that they did win the top contenders match to get that right back, because, you know, the automatic rematch clause is out. I enjoyed this match. I thought it was fine. Glad that they put it on WWE Raw. More stakes is always a good thing for me, Denise.
This was probably one of their better matches, too. I thought they went out there and they killed it. And unfortunately, there's nothing really new to say that hasn't already been said about this. Unholy Union, they didn't do anything wrong. It's not like they went out there and stunk up the joints. They didn't do that. They just didn't get pushed as a tag team that you can tell that the company wanted to legitimately push. You can tell it was just a momentary thing in putting them, making them champions, and then sort of not going any further with that. And so I felt bad for the Unholy Union, because I wanted to see them more on TV as champions. And I thought, damn, if they're not on TV as champions, are we even going to see them on TV not as champions? So the fact that they went out there and they had this match, they did perfectly fine. And hey, they got some TV time. So I feel like that's really the only thing that I can legitimately say about this, other than wanting to see the same things that you do, which is building a respectable women's tag team division, and now kind of going back and picking up where we started with Jade and Bianca.
Will Chisholm says, have you heard if NXT will let Julia work somewhat of her style, or will they change it? She'll still work very similar to her style, but there will definitely be some adjustments and changes. They don't want her knocking the shit out of people, obviously, but hey. Bret the Hitman Hart. So right before the show, I had been told by those in WWE, he's a little under the weather, a little up in the air about what he's doing tonight, if he can do it. As it turns out, he's good to go. He appears, comes out. There's a nice spot that you can tell he asked Wade Barrett where the hard camera was, and Wade Barrett helps him out a little bit, but he's interrupted by Gunther. And Gunther puts him over for being great. And he's like, you know, you're one of my favorites. You're my second favorite, because my all-time favorite is Bill Goldberg. And I was like, surely he's not going to say Shawn Michaels, like, just because that's so overdone. The Bill Goldberg one is really great. So Kyler, the guy who does a lot of social media for myself and Denise, was like, I'm going to tweet some clips of your Bret Hart interview from a few years ago. And it's so great, Denise, because I swore, I was like, I'm going to get the positive Bret Hart interview. I'm going to get the one where he's like saying great things about people. And I said, Bret, I loved your El Dandy promo. And he's like, yeah, it was great. Wish I would have worked him instead of Goldberg.
I mean, everyone knows that he mentions Bill Goldberg any opportunity he possibly can.
It was so good. And then I was like, Bret, who does the best sharpshooters? And he goes, it's a lot easier if I tell you who did the worst ones. He's the man. This guy rules. He is so good. But the Goldberg hate is just so good. Sami Zayn comes out. He wants his title shot against Gunther. And Gunther says no. Bret Hart calls him a coward, all that stuff. Will Chisholm says Gunther looks like he wanted to throw up when he said Goldberg was better than Bret. No, he had a little smirk on his face. He could tell the reaction he was about to get, Denise.
Oh, Gunther came out looking happy as fuck. Like when he came out, I thought to myself, yes. Oh, Gunther's going to do something crazy because I can tell already by the look on his face. He could not hide the happiness that he was feeling. But when he was going out there and he was queuing it up for his first favorite wrestler, I thought he was going to say Shawn Michaels because that felt like the obvious answer, right? Like I was going to say Shawn Michaels. Everyone's going to go, oh. But when he came out there with Bill Goldberg, I'm sorry, but this was the line of the freaking year, man. I was thinking this when WWE does their little slammies, year-end awards, all the little things that they do at the end of the year, I need to see this moment on the list. If it's not on that list, I'm gonna be pissed because this was the funniest thing, the most memorable thing, in my opinion, in terms of promos this whole entire year. One line, two words, killed me. So freaking funny.
Wesley Ham says, will Bad Blood have more than five matches and will Sammy and Gunther be on it? I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Sammy Gunther headline like the season premiere of Raw, like the first two hour Raw. So I'm going to levy my criticisms here. And this is not exclusive to Sami Zayn and Gunther. It isn't. I will say that at least Sami Zayn has the built-in excuse of he beat Gunther and nobody else has. But the last time we saw Sami Zayn in a match, he was losing back-to-back Intercontinental title matches. This happens so much. Like I just want to make this clear. I like all the performers I'm about to mention. Mee-Chin got a title match after losing to Nia Jax twice. She was able to beat Tiffany in the interim, but, you know, a lot of the women's title contenders come off of losses. Like Piper Niven wasn't even on the show for quite a while. Over in AEW, like they're about to run Queen Aminata against Mariah May, and Queen Aminata just took the pin in a TBS title top contender match. You look up and down that All Out card. It's Jack Perry, TNT champion, losing to the world champion. And I'm like, well, okay. Mark Briscoe, ROH champion, losing to the Continental champion. Well, okay. I Pac, Trios champion, losing. Blackpool Combat Club, Trios champions, losing. All up and down the card, it's like that. And I'm just like, what? If you're in these positions, one, to where people are getting title shots without wins, and you're in a position where a lot of your champions are also challenging for other titles, what that tells me in wrestling is, one, you have way too many titles all over the place, and two, wins and losses need to matter more. I'll give Sami Zayn and Gunther a little bit more wiggle room. I gave Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes some more wiggle room because they did a really good job, and anything Kevin Owens is associated with, he makes sure that that logic hole is fit. Like he's very good about that. And the logic gap was, sure, you haven't won lately, but you were winning an awful lot and would have won a lot of title matches had the bloodline not screwed you over. And this is me making up for that. Sami Zayn's less egregious than others, but I'm just sitting here after watching wrestling the last few months. And I'm like, yes, the creative is better. Yes, we are in a better situation with all that. But I'm like, man, I just want wins and losses to matter. I want to know that when Rey Mysterio faces Finn Balor on Monday Night Raw, it means something. That's all. I want to know that the 3 hours, soon to be 2 hours that I'm watching, that these mid-card matches eventually lead to something else. That's all.
Well, how can I follow that passionate speech that you just gave, Sean? Look, I know that Sami Zayn and Gunther isn't necessarily like, okay, you're like, oh my God, we're going to see it again, right? We've been there. But I didn't mind it particularly. Yeah, I didn't mind it particularly because of the way that everything played out and how they got to it. And so for that reason, I was kind of like, all right, like, I don't mind it. Like, these are two, like, really great workers. I know they're going to have an awesome match together. Of course, it's not brand spanking new or anything like that. But I didn't really it didn't really bother me. I wasn't, you know, crazy. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe they made this match. That was not my reaction. But it didn't bother me at all that this match was made. So it's not for Bad Blood, though, right? Like, they didn't say that, did they? Or did they?
I don't think they said that. I mean, I don't know if they're going to add it to Bad Blood. I think it might end up on a Raw. That's just me with a hunch, though.
Okay, because I don't know why I thought that was for Bad Blood. But then again, I think I was thinking everything was for Bad Blood.
We had the Pure Fusion Collective coming out, cutting a promo. So I said this last week, Denise. You had Zelina and Lyra Valkyria last week that are like, oh, I've got an idea. Next week, we're in Calgary. And I love that their idea is, let's make Natty fly 7 hours from Tampa. Like, that's their idea. She used to live here. She didn't get a great reaction coming out, which is a bummer. FightfulSelect.com did report today that she was coming back. But she got a great reaction for the finish, the triple submission into the sharpshooter. I'm glad to see her back. She is very valuable to this WWE team. I would like to see her in a more solid tag team or getting some sort of sustained push instead of the same old stuff we've saw year in and year out. Because we have seen on NXT, when she's given the opportunity to have longer matches, she absolutely kills it, Denise. I'm just glad to see her back. She does have a new multi-year deal.
Okay, so the NXT stuff, yes, completely agree. I do think that her being there was, probably some of the best stuff that she had done. The work that she did with Lola Vice was really great, too. Prior to that, even the stuff she did with Cora Jade a while ago now. God, forever ago, now that I think about it. And so I didn't think the reaction to her was bad, like, when she came out today. But it's probably because I wasn't I didn't have the volume as loud on that. But I didn't think it was a bad reaction for Natalia when she came out. I think it was more so, I don't even know if it was predictable. It just made sense, though. The second she came out, I thought, oh, great, cool. This is exactly what would make sense for them to do here on this show. And so I was more so just thinking of that. And yeah, the ending, people really, really popped for the ending. That was great. But this match was really just to give, you know, Natalia, obviously her return, but also, you know, this nice moment in Calgary. So there really wasn't too much to add. I think for me, I'm more so just wondering, like, what's going on with Lyra Valkyria? What's going on with her? Because it kind of seems like they keep trying her out in all of these different spots. And so I'm wondering what is her going to be like her official thing. I feel like every week there's something different. And I missed Raw last week. Like, I didn't watch Raw last week. So I kind of felt like, oh, okay, she's with Zelina now. And I was a little confused by that. So I was
enemies there. I mean, the booking has fallen off bad for Lyra since Becky left.
Right. So I was just a little bit lost in that. But I'm like, all right, Sure. Whatever. If this is what you're giving me, cool. I'm going to pay attention and pick up the pieces from there. But yeah, I did kind of feel like it does feel a little bit scattered. And so I'm wondering if they're just kind of testing now to see what really ends up sticking for Lyra Valkyria.
Brett also endorses Natty backstage. We have a Drew McIntyre promo. And he said, you know, Punk thought that it was over. It's not over. And then he gets in Wade Barrett's face. He's like, you were the only one that had my back through all the stuff that CM Punk was saying and doing. You're the only person that saw through everything. Then when I had the chance to finish him off, you stopped me. And he was about to get physical with Wade Barrett. And it was really making me think that maybe we're going to see the first Wade Barrett match in 8.5 years. Do you think we're going to see a Wade Barrett match?
No, I wasn't really thinking it, to be honest. I was more so just waiting for him to say something. I was like, say something, defend yourself. And once he didn't say anything, that's when I realized, oh, God, this is just like a bit right now. Like, they're not going to actually have a match. Had he said something, I think I would have been expecting for there to be a match or something. But nah, my brain didn't go there.
His last match was, man, how about this? Everybody in his last match is still in WWE. Well, with WWE. Big E and Kofi Kingston defeat King Barrett and Sheamus. On Monday Night Raw
match?
In 2016.
Oh, shit. Don't even remember that.
It's wild. 2016. Fightful did not exist then. But he stopped by Adam Pearce. And Adam Pearce says, yeah, CM Punk isn't done and you're not done with CM Punk. You didn't finish him off. but you're going to finish it because we're calling it into this. It's happening. Bad blood, Hell in a Cell. We knew this was coming. This is a foregone conclusion, but it got a great reaction. Helped them bridge a week where CM Punk isn't there, isn't contractually obligated to be there. And you got to work around that somehow, Denise. I thought this was a pretty fine segment. It made you go, what's going on with Drew and Wade? And it got the match announced for Bad Blood.
Yeah, I kind of wish CM Punk would have been there for the match announcement because it just felt weird that he was just like telling us, hey, this is going to be the match. This is what's going to happen. Oh, but, you know, CM Punk's not here. But I get it. It's fine. You know, they make their way around it. They still did the segment even without CM Punk. He's going to be back next week. Cool. And I think at this point, everybody and their mothers was waiting for this announcement of Hell in a Cell, Bad Blood. And all I got to say is I keep thinking back to the Clash at the Castle press conference. Jamal Nyers, he was the reporter who had asked CM Punk about that Hell in a Cell match. And CM Punk told him not take that fantasy booking bullshit elsewhere. And I'm like, yeah, Jamal Nyers needs to be redeemed now because he was the one who had asked CM Punk about it. And CM Punk flat out said no. And so anyways, I keep thinking back to that moment and it cracks me up every single time. So anyways, he should be redeemed for that.
Matt Logan says Wade Barrett, a lot of attention tonight, teases of returning to the ring. I could see a Rumble appearance for sure.
For who?
I could see that. For Wade Barrett.
Oh, for Wade Barrett. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Cross is talking to Miz backstage. And then as Xavier Woods approaches, Karrion Kross is like, just having a chat. And Xavier is like, don't listen to him. Miz goes, I know what he's doing. I did that all the time. New Day revealed they get a title shot next week. This plays right into what I was mentioning prior. They have 2 wins in 5 months. Like, they don't win tag team matches these days. They very rarely have them. They did beat AOP, which is good. But I'm also like, hey, while you're giving Sammy a world title shot and Jey Uso a intercontinental title shot, like, they beat the tag team champions, who, by the way, have not defended their tag team titles. What are we doing here? You saw this with the Bucks and Okada for months as well. Weren't defending their titles. Again, this tells me there is an incredible misuse of championships in WWE. Got no real problem with New Day getting a title match. Steph the Writer says put the tag titles in New Day. Let them cook having great matches with all the young teams. How are you feeling about this? Steven Harden says, I smell a Kofi turn coming next week or sometime after. What do you think?
I think they're still doing that now that it looks like Odyssey Jones is no longer in that picture. So it's like, do you think
he's not in the picture?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely not in the picture.
They're still sticking with that story. Like, how does that change that story that they were telling?
They're still teasing it a little bit, but they're going to celebrate their 10th anniversary as a team together, they said. And the person also says, don't feel bad about your Bengals. My Falcons sucked. Oh boy, did they ever. But I think you got to at least tease it.
Right, because, I mean, it did start it. I think for me, they kind of see the New Day as this team that is so, I mean, we just know the New Day. They're just the New Day, right? Like, there's nothing new about the New Day anymore. They're just the New Day. So I think part of them doesn't think that they have to go out there and get wins. It's just like, oh, the New Day's in this match. Cool. Everybody knows them. They're already, you know, who they are. They're already set in stone in this company. So I almost feel like they don't choose to go that extra mile with them because they already know what fans are going to expect from the New Day.
If you were a betting woman, what would you say? The turn happens or not?
Oh, God. I don't really want it to. I'm not really all that interested. I'm pretty sure it is, but I'm going to say no just because I don't really care about the turn.
Well, I am a betting man. BetOnline.ag. All of our odds that we've ever gotten from wrestling, MMA, boxing have come from BetOnline. We are so proud to be doing business with them. A lot of you guys are saying, wait, you can bet on pro wrestling? Yes, you can bet on pro wrestling. In fact, I've got it at a minus 200. This lawnmower outside my window isn't going to stop by the time I do this ad read. You hear that? I would have made some money at BetOnline.ag with that prop. Go check out the BetOnline wrestling odds. That's the only ones you have ever seen on Fightful, because we only trust BetOnline.ag
their 25-plus years, their safe and secure environment, their high limits, their credit card acceptance is all unmatched. You can bet big with their rebet functionality as well. The earliest lines that you're going to find, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or other sports, bet online. Check them out.
Joseph McBride says something that's going to cause me to go on a rant. Not every contender needs to be on a win streak. Sammy was the last man to beat Gunther. Same way Chito Vera got the O'Malley fight in the UFC. Joseph, did you not listen to anything that I said? I said I was giving that one some wiggle room, but it is a prevalent problem in pro wrestling. You want to compare it to the UFC? I think that's stupid too. The UFC, especially over the last 5 years, has rewarded inactivity. I think it's very dumb that Stipe Miocic is like the guy that they keep trying to push into a title shot with John Jones. I hate that Colby Covington can take like a year off, come off of a loss, and get a title match. I hated when it happened with Jorge Masvidal. I didn't like it then either. I thought it was dumb when Yoel Romero constantly got title shots just because he was good once upon a time. It doesn't cultivate new stars or anything like that. It's dumb in the UFC as well. Yeah, I mean, Bilal Muhammad had to get like 10 wins before they gave him a title shot. Matchmaking's in the mud.
You know what else? Finn
Balor promo.
The Bengals.
Yeah. Oh, good one. Good one. Finn Balor promo. Damian Priest comes out, accepts his challenge, and of course it's a plot. You know it's a plot. The Judgment Day attacks. Damian Priest knew what was up. Rhea tries to help out Damian as best he can, or best she can. Damian ends up like shielding Rhea, taking a bunch of crutch shots. And Jey Uso, I know you didn't watch the show last week, but or whenever it was that they had their conversation, but I love the way that they explained it. Jey Uso like said to Damian, "Hey man, I know you don't trust me or anything right now, and you think that I got heat with you, but I used to be in the same position as you. It's like when I came here, nobody liked me." He's like, "I've made bad decisions too. You made bad decisions. Let's just call it even and we'll help out each other." And that was a great way to close that. Jey ends up making the save. They do tease the Rhea thing on social media quite a bit as well. How'd you feel about this segment?
Oh, I thought it was pretty nicely executed. I do want to every now and then see the Judgment Day get the best of the Terror Twins, because right now it's sort of been the Terror Twins getting, like, you know, they've been getting a lot of momentum, right? And I thought that the moment, so it was so funny because so when Damian Priest was getting beat up by everybody, I kept going, okay, where's Rhea Ripley? I need Rhea Ripley to like come out with some weapon or something to go down. Well, I had missed whatever happened the week prior where she came out and she was like limping and whatnot. So I'm like, oh, she's coming out in crutch. What's happening here? But the moment that I heard Rhea Ripley's music play, though, oh, it was just very exciting to know that she was still going to go out there and try to help out her partner, even though he was being attacked by what was it, four other men? So the fact that she still went out there to have his back, even though she knew that the math was still not going to be on their side, I thought that was pretty exciting. So I did like the way that that all turned out. Damian Priest putting himself over Rhea Ripley's body was sweet and funny at the exact same time because, I mean, it was regardless, they were going to beat the crap out of both of them. But he still tried. An effort was made. But Liv Morgan, I thought she did really great too, just kind of going out there and handling business for herself as well too. They looked good. The Judgment Day looked good during this segment. And I thought that was kind of, they needed that. They kind of did. They needed to look a little cool.
We had a couple of Judgment Day related matches. You had Dominic Mysterio and Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee, who people have been begging to get onto the show. Liv helped out the win here. Dragon Lee needs to be featured more, I think. I would love a tag team with Rey Mysterio. I think that would be ideal, especially in this division. I think I'd mentioned this last week. Somebody in our chat said that Alpha Academy should transfer to Chase U and kind of join them, which would be kind of cute for NXT. You get some veterans on the show as well. Then Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee can kind of fill in that babyface role. Awesome Truth needs to be dead in the water. Don't need to see that back. I would love to see that. But what do you think of the Dominic Mysterio match and how Dragon Lee has been used thus far, taking that L.
They always forget Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee's the person that they always tend to forget. He's like Stewart in the Big Bang Theory. He's always left out. They just forget about him all the dang time. And well, except that Dragon Lee is a lot more entertaining than Stewart. But regardless, Dragon Lee, yeah, he's always forgotten about, which is kind of irritating. But when he goes out there, man, he goes out there and he does a good job. So he's reliable, except they always forget about him, which sucks. But yeah, I was looking forward to this match. I thought it was fine. I thought, like I said, Liv Morgan also played her part during this. I mean, she really is the reason that Dominic Mysterio won this match. Good frog splash from Dominic, actually. Probably one of the best that I've seen from him in a very long time.
Yeah, I agree.
Was really good. It just hit different this time. So that was something noticeable too. But overall, a strong night for the Judgment Day.
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate your support. Rey Mysterio defeated Finn Balor via DQ. This was a fun match. I really, really enjoyed this match. The finish, one of those old school, just won't let go of a submission in the ropes, and you get the DQ. Finn attacks Rey after the match. I feel like Finn does need to go on a bit of a mean streak because he played second or third or fourth banana in Judgment Day for an awful long time. I felt like this is the type of performance that Finn Balor needed. And yes. I thought that he delivered.
One of my biggest pet peeves for Finn Balor in the last couple of, for a while, for a long time, they kept, and I said it on here on the show plenty of times, where I thought they made Finn Balor come across as very goofy. Very goofy, very cheesy. Even when he was in the Judgment Day and he was meant to be serious, he wasn't coming off as serious. He was coming off as like fake wannabe tough guy. And I didn't like that because that's not what I wanted to see from Finn Balor. I have so much respect for Finn Balor that I didn't want to see that version of Finn. And so I finally feel like right now, like the promo that he cut today where he was so angry, he was so pissed, that's the Finn I want to see. I want to see legit, real tough guy Finn. Like, that's what I want to see. And so I thought that based off what I saw today, it's been like pretty much like a pretty decent start. And I think that they could take it even further. I think that he should go darker. I think he should go meaner. And I want to see at some point the return of the demon, because I hate that my last memory of the demon, and I don't even know if it was the last time we saw the demon, but my last memory of the demon was when he faced Roman Reigns and they had him do that goofy thing where they turned down the lights or the lights turned red and it was super weird. And then Paul Heyman went and started moving the ropes, whatever, that whole Shabbat, that whole thing that went down. That's literally my last memory of that. And I kind of want that to be erased. So I want them to sort of right their wrongs with Finn Balor. And I do want to see Finn Balor at some point get back into that world title picture.
We had a Judgment Day vignette backstage as well. And then we had interviews with Braun Strowman. We had Sheamus attacking Pete Dunne, who had also showed up, and I believe he got in Braun Breaker's face as well. Jay interrupted Ilya Dragunov talking to Braun. I like that Braun Breaker had little interactions over the past couple of weeks with numerous members of this. Like, he told Braun Strowman, he's like, you don't have to be your size to be a monster. Last week we saw him in Jey Uso's face, and he's like, nobody in your family has ever whipped anybody in my family's ass, and it's not going to start with you. We saw it again tonight. I like it. It looked like they were setting up programs with multiple people. That way it made it a little bit less predictable. Going into this main event, was it a foregone conclusion for you?
I had a big feeling that it was going to be Jey Uso, but I was sort of in a situation where I thought any guy that would have won this, like, I would have been cool with it. I didn't think it was going to be Pete Dunne, because he's off going to be doing that last man standing match with Trick Williams tomorrow. So I'm like, okay, kind of already has a big match. I thought Ilya Dragunov, that was kind of my pick because of just like the match. But I knew that even though it was my pick, I didn't feel like it was the pick that they were going to go with. So the most obvious answer was definitely Jey Uso. And I feel like he was possible. I'm pretty sure he was the popular pick and the popular prediction amongst everybody here. And so this was a fun match, though, man. Holy cow. They went out there and they freaking killed it. All the interactions that we saw with Ilya and with Pete Dunne. Oh, my God. That was definitely my favorite part of the entire matchup. But like they went out there and everybody kind of brought something different. There was a moment where Braun Strowman just like shoved Pete Dunne off of the top of the rope, off the top rope. I thought that was kind of cool. No, there was a lot in this. I'm even blanking on everything that went down, but like this was a good main event. This was probably one of my favorite main events that they've done in a while. To truth
incredible, incredible. Just the type of main event you need to have, especially when you're throwing four ingredients in there like this. Sometimes you just got to have bangers. Sometimes you just got to remind people, oh, yeah, you can do it as well as anybody else. Jey Uso gets the win. He is insanely over. Insanely over. That match will be a hot match. I doubt it'll happen at Bad Blood either. It'll probably be on Raw, and it should be. Bronson Reed also comes out and squashes Braun with his nutsack through the broadcast table. I'm glad to see Bronson Reed back. He was sidelined last week, unfortunately. FightfulSelect.com reported that Braun Strowman would fill in for him, which had a lot of people going, well, isn't he selling the attack? Listen, it's Braun Strowman. I'm okay if he comes back and tries to fight the next week. It's Braun Strowman. But from here on out, it needs to be on site with those guys. So I'm glad it went this way. Bronson Reed should be mad. He should be pissed off. I thought this was executed wonderfully. I love that they played up Ilya and Pete Dunne in the middle of the match as well. And then you got Sheamus attacking Pete Dunne earlier on in the night. You still got that going on. So you've got Braun with his program. You've got Braun Breaker and Jey Uso with their program. Jey Uso is tied into the Judgment Day stuff right now. Pete Dunne is feuding with Sheamus, but really was going at it with Ilya. This is great stuff weaving in and out. I'm just really happy with that.
Yeah, thank you so much for, I don't know how I forgot the tsunami. That was like the biggest spot of the night. That was freaking crazy. Oh my God. Like his full, just like full on body weight. And obviously the angle was a lot different because it was off the barricade instead of
his
off the
balls,
rope.
Denise.
I mean, I'm not going to say his balls, but like his whole body weight just went like, man, just perfect. Perfect, just landing. I can't even explain it. It was very, very cool. And the way that it happened to it, it came out of nowhere as well.
Samuel Muscle says, love y'all. That's it. Go Fightful. Thank you very much. And Tim Traver, our dude, man, love you, Tim. I am so happy to see you back, buddy. If you guys are ever into diecast cars, he does a lot of cool like photos, videos of diecast cars. He says, been a while since I sent a super chat on here. Had a lot going on. Thanks for keeping it positive. Love you guys. There's a lot going on with my diecast site next year. You always do very cool stuff with that, Tim. Hope you and Kelly are doing awesome. Man,
what
just
is
love
diecast?
Seeing, like, you know, like little like toy cars, the ones that are not plastic, but they're made out of a diecast material. They're a little bit heavier. Yeah. So like Hot Wheels cars, a lot of stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see.
Check that out, guys. Tim is a wonderful guy. Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
Shit, that's it. Damn, we ran through Raw.
Unless Luis forgot something. Did you, Luis?
I don't think so. I don't want to get Luis in trouble. Anyway.
I don't think you forgot anything.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all of those. Now you guys know where to find me.
Guys, I believe the hump is back this week on Fightful. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats, but subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It's the best $5 in the business. Subscriptions, views, all that stuff is down this time of year, every year. So your support, just $5 a month or $54 a year, gets you a bunch of news. We reported a whole bunch of contracts last week. Akira and MLW, Heather Reckless to TNA, Shayna Baszler and gosh, who else re-signing with WWE? Cedric Alexander. Yeah. We had reported Giselle Shaw got her release as well. Lots there. And as MG Geek says, something that we reported on heavily today, the AEW Fox stuff, Beyond the Bell with Andrew and Rich. Andrew is one of the best with inside news on the TV deal. Tomorrow morning, check that out. Lots of stuff on the WBD, AWTV deal. That is just something that he and I have been conferring on an awful lot. We are going to have a lot more good news on Fightful Select this week. You're going to want to stay tuned. I will be at AEW Dynamite on Wednesday. It's about 3 miles from my house, so I'll see some of you guys there. Until next time, we're out.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.